Welcome to episode 577 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson, 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand.
Today we continue with part two of It's a Light Thing. Israel, Judah, and Edom are enemies, but they have joined together in an uneasy coalition against a common enemy, the people of Moab. Also, as this is Black History Month, we are comparing God's intervention with his chosen people with the ways in which he has intervened and delivered those of African descent during the annals of history. Isaiah 43 verses 3 and 11, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Sheba in your place. Ah, yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior." The children of Israel had languished in Egypt for 430 years, and they would have remained there in bondage had God not intervened. He was the only one who could save or deliver them. The only reason they were able to inherit the land of promise is through the Lord's miraculous deliverance. They could not have freed themselves on their own. Time and again, after leaving Egypt, God came through for his people. He parted the Red Sea and made it possible for a great multitude to cross on dry land, escaping the hot pursuit of the Egyptians. Along the way to the promised land, he empowered them to prevail against hostile forces, such as the king of Arad, who took some Israelites prisoner, or Og of Bashan, the giant who was king over 60 fortified cities. Like he parted the Red Sea, God also parted the rivers of the Jordan. And once in the promised land, there was seemingly an endless cycle of the people falling into sin, being harassed by their enemies, crying out to God, and then God delivering them. God is in the deliverance business, and as he had come through at the time of the Exodus and through the times of the Judges, he could come through again in this moment of crisis involving Moab. They just needed to remember him, and perhaps they needed to inquire of a prophet. Just as God delivered the children of Israel, he was at work in many stories of deliverance of African American people, especially during the time of slavery.
Today's top 10 list.
10 notes of deliverance during the period of slavery in the Americas.
Number 1.
People who escaped slavery living in freedom came to be known as Maroons or Outliers. Maroonage, self-liberated Africans in isolated or hidden settlements, existed throughout the Americas, from Canada, which in the 18th century was home to some escaped Maroons from Jamaica, to Brazil.
Number 2.
Maroons were found in all the southern United States, and swamp-based Maroon communities existed in the Deep South in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, and South Carolina.
Number 3.
Major efforts were made by European militaries to track down and destroy Maroon communities, but those attempts were often rebuffed. For example, the British were unable to defeat the Maroons in Jamaica and therefore established a treaty with them. The Black Caribs of St. Vincent and the Maroons in Suriname did the same. While some Maroon communities in the United States were successfully subdued, several, including some who engaged in periodic guerrilla warfare, held out until the end of the Civil War.
Number 4.
In 1849, with the help of a couple of storekeepers, Virginia-born Henry Brown wedged himself into a 3x2-foot box labeled dry goods. And this wooden crate traveled from Richmond, Virginia by wagon, steamboat, and railroad to the home of abolitionist James Miller McKim in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He only had a few biscuits and some water as supplies. And during one leg of the trip, his crate was placed upside down on the deck of a steamship. Brown was left sitting on his head for 90 minutes, his eyes swelling as if they would burst from their sockets. He nearly passed out before two unsuspecting passengers flipped the box over to use it as a seat. He made it safely to Philadelphia after 27 grueling hours inside the cramped confines of the box.
Number 5.
In 1838, 20-year-old slave Frederick Douglass fled his job as a Baltimore ship's caulker and boarded a train bound for the North. He was disguised in a sailor's uniform and carried a free sailor's protection pass loaned to him by an accomplice. He encountered an old acquaintance on a riverboat and was nearly spotted by a ship captain he had once worked for. But despite the close calls and tense moments, he eventually made it to New York.
Number 6.
In 1862, Robert Smalls was working as a wheelman aboard a Confederate steamer. When the ship's white crew took an unauthorized shore leave, Smalls and several accomplices commandeered the vessel. They picked up their families at a rendezvous point and steamed into Charleston Harbor with Smalls at the helm, disguised in the captain's coat and hat. Smalls knew both the ship and the mine-infested harbor like the back of his hand, and he was able to give the proper signals to win safe passage by Fort Sumter. Once out of the Confederate guns' firing range, he poured on the speed and made a mad dash for the Union blockade. Under the white flag of surrender, the crew offered up their ship to the first U.S. Navy vessel they encountered.
Number 7.
In 1835, Harriet Jacobs fled her plantation and briefly hid in some friends' houses. Knowing her chances of making it to the north were slim, she holed up in a small attic crawl space in her grandmother's home. The rat-infested room was tiny, only 9 feet long and 7 feet wide, with a sloping ceiling that never reached higher than 3 feet. Still, she would spend 7 years living in the coffin-like space, watching her children play in the yard through a small peephole, and only leaving for brief periods of nighttime exercise. She finally made her escape to the north in 1842, after a friend helped her secure passage on a boat bound for Philadelphia. From there, she proceeded by train to New York and reunited with family members.
Number 8.
William and Ellen Craft were married in Macon, Georgia in 1846, but were held in slavery by different masters. So they devised an escape plan. The light-skinned Ellen cut her hair short, dressed herself in men's clothing, and wrapped her head in bandages to pose as an injured white man. William assumed the role of her loyal black manservant. In their disguises, they boarded a train headed north. Ellen found herself sitting next to a close friend of her master, but her elaborate costume prevented her from being recognized. They traveled by train and steamer throughout the South, lodging in fine hotels and rubbing elbows with upper-class whites to maintain their cover. Since she could not read or write, Ellen placed her arm in a sling to avoid signing tickets and papers. But her ruse was nearly found out when a Charleston steamer clerk refused to sell the pair their tickets without a signature. Luckily for the Crafts, the captain of their previous ship happened to pass by and agreed to sign for her. They made it to Philadelphia on Christmas Day in 1848.
Number 9.
According to some estimates, between 1810 and 1850, the Underground Railroad helped to guide 100,000 escaped people to freedom.
Number 10.
The Underground Railroad in the United States had many notable participants, including John Fairfield in Ohio, the son of a slave-holding family, who made many daring rescues, Levi Coffin, a Quaker who assisted more than 3,000 slaves, and Harriet Tubman, the Moses of her people, who made 19 trips into the South and escorted over 300 slaves to freedom after she herself had escaped from slavery in Maryland. God delivered his chosen people time and again. He came through for them repeatedly in impossible circumstances. Likewise, God has intervened on behalf of people of African descent throughout their history, including during the dark days of slavery. Whatever your lot is today, though things might seem hopeless, to God it is but a light thing. Father, we know that as you delivered your chosen people in the Bible, and as you delivered so many of your children of African descent, you can deliver us today. Help us to trust you. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.